Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Not good enough in the first half, allowing them to be a two-dimensional offense when they hit us on some long runs.
Hand off to Robinson. Through a hole. 25-30, up the sideline, 40, and drag, no, he keeps his feet, and he is G-O-N-E gone. Bijan Robinson goes 81 yards for the touchdown.
You have to evaluate everything to make sure that, you know, we're looking in the right spots in terms of, you know, the coverages we're getting and the quarterback's progression overall. I could feel what you were saying in terms of it was too hard tonight on our quarterback. It doesn't need to be that hard all the time.
Back to pass, pumps, fires over the middle, and it's intercepted. It's picked off. And coming the other way is D. Alford. Back to pass, thinks about running, now doubles back to his left, looking for a receiver in the end zone, flings it, it's tipped at the line of scrimmage, and it's intercepted.
We're on the bye now, we've got to look at it. We've got to spend a lot of time looking at this thing and figuring out what's going on and fixing it.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, well, this took a turn for the worse. Bills are now 4-2. So again, we can't, as you know, per yesterday's conversation, we can't talk about whether they would play their starters if they were 16-0.
Yeah, no, I don't think
that's out.
I don't think that's called for.
That's all the way out.
That
we don't have that.
Yeah,
that's gone.
That is 6
forever
feet under that conversation
until next year.
Right.
Scared.
I'm reasonably shook. Yeah. You know, I think you can probably, well, choose to or actually just objectively find some comfort in the fact that this is a fifth season in a row where they've dropped two games in a row. And not unlike last year, they dropped two in a row early after starting 3-0. Then they fell to 3-2. They didn't have a bye to rest up and figure things out, but they righted the ship and ended up, you know, pulling away and winning the division by December 1st. The difference, the thing that doesn't give you comfort, doesn't give me comfort in that scenario now, is that there is a significant difference this year, and that lies in the fact that the division is in a complete and total wasteland. New England is there now.
It's a partial wasteland.
Sure, but there's at least a team there that is, you know, the Jets and Miami are, forget about them, but New England is live. They're ahead of you. And that's different. Like, so whatever missteps you could endure last year, I never really felt at 3-2 in danger of the division not being won. But given New England's schedule, I think you're going to be looking at a race now, even if the Bills get on track. Like, I don't expect both of these teams to run the table or anything, but from here to the wire. But they're going to have to deal with the Patriots in a way that I was not really ready for 2 weeks ago.
The thing about it all, as we talked about yesterday, is for the regular season to be what you want, they have to finish above everybody in the conference. And that easily has taken a hit. I mean, two straight losses. Like you say, they've done it before, and they've never gotten the one. So last year they lost three games, and they didn't get there, even with the tiebreaker over the team that did.
Right.
So it's New England. I think the right point was made last week about New England, or at least for me the right point, which is as easy as their schedule is, they're going to lose three or four or five more times.
I don't think they're good enough to just roll over people.
No, but
I don't think the Bills are anymore either.
Well, if that happens, if the Patriots finish 11-6, which I'm sorry, the cognitive dissonance with these records is still like anybody over the age of eight, you should probably be upset at hearing a record like that. And I don't blame you because I'm upset even saying it. But if the Patriots finish 11-6, then okay, well, maybe you've split with them. Maybe you beat them outright 12-5. Is that the one seed? Like, what's the one seed? Is it the Colts? Is it the Steelers? Like, it could be a year like the Tennessee year where the one loses five or six games. Like, that's probably what you want.
Yeah.
But I think that's the only thing that matters. Like, if the Bills are 11-6 and the Patriots win 12 games – and the Bills are the five, which is probably what it is if they are 11-6 and don't win the AFC East, and they go to Pittsburgh in the first. I can live with that. Like that doesn't, like right now as we're talking, tell me that that's what they are. It doesn't really eliminate any sort of Super Bowl conversation or cancel such conversation.
I agree.
But there's no advantage in that. Like you're playing on the road the whole way.
Right. And
without rest.
Yeah. And you know, I need to see what, you know, I don't have answers yet. What are they going to become on offense? Like, what is going to become of them on offense, I think, is a good question. Last year, they pivoted after those two losses and made a trade for a receiver. And I don't know what makes it less likely to happen this year. There's two things that I think are in play. It's Bean doubling down on Everybody Eats in such a public fashion that I wonder if objectively he will find himself to a field where he can make a trade for a receiver and admit that he was wrong.
What a great conversation.
To be
that
as
is.
Adversarial and antagonistic about the entire subject to begin with, there's that. And if I want to give a person like that the benefit of the doubt. You have a team to run, and you have a situation that may need addressing. Plenty of people out here are going to think it needs addressing. And I would like to think he wouldn't refuse to do it on some principle because of his opinion back in April. But I don't know. I don't know, right? But I would like to. But even so, he's got to want to do it. And then there's also that they did it last year, and it didn't work.
No, it didn't.
And so, those two things might have me less excited. I think last year I was expecting them to make a receiver trade, but when they lost those two games, they got to do something.
And they did.
This year it's harder for me to say that. I think the need is just as obvious. Keon Coleman has been a ghost since opening night. Josh Palmer caught a couple of passes and got hurt, and okay, but look at the drives from last night's game. I mean, you know, they scored 14 points. So you know they only had two scoring drives. There's in the second half, in the fourth quarter, it's three and out, three and out, three and out, 0 yards. Josh Allen is the quarterback of this team.
Six punts.
It is just incredible that you're that stuck with that talent behind center.
Four and outs.
Is incredible. Yeah. So I don't know what they can do about it if they don't add someone, because you know Curtis Samuel missed last night. I don't care. That's not fixing anything. Palmer is the only, like, that looked like it was going to work last night. Maybe, right? There's a couple of plays, but then he gets hurt, and he's hurt. So how long does that last? If that's suddenly, like, he was also a ghost before last night, after opening night. And so am I supposed to count on that as the linchpin to fix this passing offense? I think it's the first time since Allen has ascended to this level where I have felt really like I'm not sure what the answer is for them on offense right now.
We could talk about this all week, and we will, because there's no game next week. But in the pregame show, we were talking about, I was sort of stuck on this idea that it was Shakir's game because Atlanta had lost its slot corner and Kincaid wasn't going to play. So here's the perfect 3 for 33. You want to see what a wide receiver one looks like? Atlanta.
Right.
You want to see what a running back one looks like, actually? I mean, Robinson. Enough with the James Cook, how elite he is. Like, you finally played against one. Or now it's the second time this year, and what did Henry go for against the Bills? The same, like, 180 or something like that? That's not James Cook. James Cook is not the problem. And I don't even know if Shakir or this point about the passing offense is the problem, because we know from experience that the Bills have overcome this sort of adversity in, you know, several of these seasons. Like, they're still good enough to do that. But I just thought they got, like, really out. Physical is not a word. I refuse. What's the actual word for that? It's a real word.
Manhandled.
Like, they just were not the better team in this game against Atlanta. They got badly outgained. They got hit at every turn. Even Allen. Like, he got hit a lot in this game. And so, what does that tell you? Is that Houston? Is that the same thing as losing to Houston last year? That was this game, unlike that last year, there's no fluke element to it, I think. Like, this game was winnable.
Absolutely was winnable. The entire second half of the game was winnable.
Well, no, but it's not about, like, one thing that happened,
right.
Like a bounce
right.
or a call. This was just like, yeah, they couldn't do it.
Right.
And a lot of their losses, like, this is really a compliment, a lot of their losses have been games where we go, wow. I mean, even last week was a game where you go, like, oh, jeez, except for these miracle passes to Diggs or the bounces on fumbles, like, you win. That's what it's Pleasantville. I mean, the Bills are Pleasantville. They're used to, wait a minute. I thought what do you mean the phrase is you can't win them all? We do win them all. And now this is a game against the Atlanta Falcons in prime time, where Allen is often, like, just way up here, and the next day we spend talking about his MVP Hall of Fame status. The Atlanta Falcons were just, like, better than the Bills, weren't they? Like, they were better.
Better and able to, as the game went on, I think, just further deploy the tactics that they started with. Like, we knew, we talked about it in the run-up to the game. This is the most blitz-heavy team in the league by a significant margin. And they opened the game that way. And as the game went on, that's where the offense and not having someone that can break the spell that's been cast on you is so important, because the only way to slow that down is to make a play. Right, you got to break their back. You got to hit a 6-yard slant, and there's nobody there, and he's just going, and that just did not happen. And so, what does Atlanta do? We sent six. Let's send six again. It doesn't matter. They can't hurt us.
Right.
That was the game. I think largely is they can't hurt us if we try to cover with four or five back here. So why not just keep doing it?
And then Atlanta on offense. Penix, did you like him? He's fine, right?
I mean,
he's okay.
The first half was really good, but it was mostly okay. Just guys in open spots in the zone.
He completed 20 passes, all but four to two guys. 16 of 20 to two guys. Like, that's not something you can coach against. I got two. It. I mean, no disrespect to McDermott. He doesn't have to prove anything more for me on, like, his acumen when it comes to coaching defense. They're down guys, you know, I recognize that. I don't think Sean McDermott is, like, sort of on the table whether he's a good defensive coach. Or Babich, you know, for that matter. They've done really well. But this defense is so limited. Again, against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, that's apparently a team in the league that they win this game like they did. And 16 of 20 completions went to two guys, London and Robinson. And the Bills could not take that away. And they've taken a lot of good players away.
Right. But to be able to take one receiver away is alarming.
10 for London on 16 targets. Like, anything they wanted. He was great. But, like, whatever. There's no answer. Robinson is 6 for 68. Pitts is 3 for 18, that guy. I mean, he falls down when they throw him the ball.
He's a joke.
And then 1 for 6 to Algier. That's it. We were talking on the pregame show, like, is there an anytime touchdown bet on Atlanta? I'm like, and I'm sort of already making excuses by saying this. I don't know who it would be. Like, there's nobody. Ray McLeod is a healthy scratch. There's nobody else to worry about. And it didn't matter. There were still, like, the Falcons kind of did whatever they wanted. End of the game. I thought, I tweeted this. It looked to me like, and this is a little bit sort of narrative, which I am embarrassed to admit, but it looked to me like the Falcons did not know how to close out that game. They just didn't really know what to do. And the Bills still let them off the hook.
Right.
Like, it was just the last drive was they're not running down the play clock. They're throwing passes. Like, they're not sort of aware.
Right.
Allen would never. Like, the Bills in that spot would never lose that game if they had a 7-point lead with the ball in 6 minutes. They would never lose that game. Like, he would just know he'd run the play clock down. They'd call the right plays. They wouldn't even need anything good. They'd maybe have a 4th-and-1 and tush push it. They would never, there would be no threat of them losing that game. Atlanta did win.
Right.
But they kind of looked like they didn't know what to do.
The closest you could get to a one thing that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really mattered in the game is that pass that Penix throws right to Shaq Thompson, and Thompson drops like that. That's not a hard play, easy for me to say, but whatever. It's not. It was right there, both hands on it. He just didn't catch it.
Yep.
And like that. And that is maybe the only play in it, like, you know, that could have. You probably tie the game if he catches that ball.
Well, but what do you want to say? He's a backup.
Right. Right. Yeah, right. I think it's there for you to say if Bernard is in the game, we saw him make that play 2 weeks ago. Maybe he makes the same play except runs all the way down, you know, for a touchdown this time. Because there's a lot of room there. I wouldn't assume Shaq Thompson necessarily would have scored. If someone on Atlanta really tried to chase him, they probably would have caught him.
But but that's what you're up against. Right. That's what McDermott is up against, is sort of the injury luck, and, you know, they're depleted. That'll be different. Their next time out. That'll be different. Whether they get injured guys back, they'll get Hoyt back. He'll make his debut, Ogunjobi. They lose Daquan Jones in the warm-ups. I mean, you just don't get all the luck.
Right.
And the Bills haven't had more than their share of luck this year. You know, they've had some, but they didn't. They lost a turnover. We'll see if they can break the record for, let's hope not.
Most games losing the
most games in a row.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you want to be a little bit because, you know, you brought up Bean and the receiver thing. That is really like 9 or 10 out of 10 for a juicy conversation. Like, what is he thinking? Is he defiant? He was defiant the day after the draft to the point of, like, you probably do too. I go on shows to talk about the Bills. Like once or twice a week. They're always asking me about that conversation. I wasn't even in the room.
Right.
But everybody knows about the time Brandon Bean flipped out on the media, which was us, for harping on how they don't have good enough receivers. Then he did the tour, and then he went to Tyler and told Tyler Dunn in so many words, what are they even talking about? I signed Josh Palmer, who's had a 40 reception year in his career once. I was just like, okay. I mean, you did set the franchise record in scoring. All that is true. Mm-hmm. Like, but they're reasonable people. Well, I guess I'm biased. Reasonable people seriously questioned you and this. And I don't know, what do you say today? Does he want to double back and trade for this year's Amari Cooper? Does he want to do that? Who even is it? Is it somebody who's shot? Like, I mean, they have scouts. They whiffed on that.
You'd like to do better than you did last year if you are going to do it.
Is he going
to
do that again? I mean, I think I'd respect it because it's like not being stuck like the kid's tongue in the Christmas Story to the pole. Like you're not just like completely unavailable to be removed from the take.
Just because you made a spectacle of the whole situation and of yourself to an extent back in April doesn't mean you shouldn't see your way clear to still do what needs to be done.
But what is the move? Last year, at least there was a guy who had a pretty big season the year before, who was gettable. Cost him a third round pick. That's not nothing.
Right.
I mean, but it's a long time ago now. It was Amari Cooper. What did Dallas get for Amari Cooper when he was like not shot? A fifth or something like that? Anyway, third round pick. They did it. I didn't object to it. I wouldn't this year. I think probably if they did a similar version of that. But is he not too proud? Like, is he going to look? I mean, Elijah Moore. So maybe I'm wrong about this. And I'm wrong about interpreting body language often enough when it comes to guys because, you know, you can't know. But Allen threw a pass to Elijah Moore last night up the right sideline. And Moore kept going, and Allen threw to nobody.
Yeah, it looked like he thought Moore was going to stop.
And you know what Allen did? Like, he never calls – he's not Dan Marino. Like, he never gets in anybody's face. He's really cognizant of what not to look like.
Is this both hands on the helmet?
No, close. He ripped both sides of the chin strap off, like, and then ran off the field. That looked to me like he was ticked. Like, that – I'm not going to be like – you know, I'm not going to point at you. I'm not going to yell at you because he's a leader and he knows how that can look. But he sort of like rips both of the sides of the chin strap off. Like, damn it. Just why would he ever throw to wide open space? Like, isn't he supposed to know what the play is? He's not infallible. So, you know, that
just might be one of those things where the receivers and quarterbacks talk a lot about understanding the leverage and the coverage, and when it's like this, I expect you to do that. And it looked like instead Moore did that instead of this on that play. And like that's it. And it's all it can take. And the frustration, I think that's a good catch, like noticing him, because I'm all ears when I hear McDermott saying it was way too hard for him. And I think Allen is feeling that. Like, he looked to me about as frustrated as I can remember him looking during a game.
And he took some shots. Is he fine? I guess we want to assume so, but he played through the game, but he took...
Oh, the hand, the same hand he hurt last year? Yeah. All I thought was it's not his throwing hand. Good. So, I don't know.
He took some hits in this game. Well, McDermott's right. It wasn't easy. And, their next game is against Carolina, which, A, is Carolina, B, beat last night's team 30-0.
Yeah, that happened.
Atlanta did that to them. Atlanta did that to them.
Such a weird game, too, in that the play at the end of the half sort of shades the way you felt going into halftime. Like, it was still 21-7, but it felt so close to being 28-7. And 28-7 feels like, I mean, that's probably really hard. 21-7 proved to be too much, as it turned out. But really, it's a couple of scores. And they got one right away and then just could not do it again. But, you know, halftime comes and goes. And it feels like, to me, I'm thinking, man, it's gonna be a day talking about the defense and all the draft picks and all the different assets they poured into it, and they just don't have it, and how much stock you want to put in the injuries and all this sort of stuff. And by the time the game's over, it's flipped around completely to like my offense cannot move the ball.
It's both.
It is both.
Right? I mean, which unit do you trust more? I trust the offense more.
Which is really one of the inception points of the conversation about pouring resources into receiver and that side of the ball. Like, you're good there, be great there. Or you're great there, be you know, undeniable there. Just keep going on that side. Whatever's going to happen on defense is going to happen on defense. I mean, they're all banged up, and they hold Atlanta 3 points in the second half of this game with, like, Joe Andreessen and Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram playing. So.
It's fair.
So what?
So. And rap playing.
Rap.
Rap is a story. That guy just loves to come in late, even if it's his friendly fire. Right. He
Bernard,
just loves
play
to be
Bernard's
late.
Hurt on. He's
oh,
there
my
to
goodness.
Add
Can he just ever not be late? Anyway, this is what a loss sounds like. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, it is 803-0550 to reach us. Big lineup. Ross Tucker, Sal Capaccio, Eric Wood. Eric moving from Mondays because the game was on Monday. Ross is every Tuesday. How about Ross and that tweet about the Washington food? Just that, what a beauty he is. Can you make sure to help me not spend the entire Ross segment on the Washington food?
Right.
Because we need to not do that. But you know Ross and you know how funny it is. Anyway, we will be right back. Lines are open. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.